This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
We spent time in fantasy saying we got to go fast and pray so we can deal with the devil. And you don't need to fast and pray to deal with the devil, because he gave you power to deal with the devil. He said what you need to fast and pray about is the unbelief, praise God. It's the unbelief that's counteracting your faith.
It's time for Homecoming, the reunion. The 2024 Grace Life Conference is already set right here in College Park, Georgia, with guest speakers Gregory Dickow, Andrea Creighton, Inky Johnson, Bishop Clarence McClendon, and Michael Smith. Anticipate hearing a message of grace. Text Grace Life, one word, to 51555, or scan the QR code to reserve your spot now.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Matthew 7 and 12. Let's read it in the NLT. You're going to either live by the law of Moses that is administered by rule keeping. In other words, he gives you 603 rules to try to get the benefit of morality from the Ten Commandments. He says, all right, if you're going to do this, if you're going to thou shalt not kill, you got to do these 20 things to see if you can achieve that. It failed miserably. But then we come to the New Testament, and remember the Ten Commandments, that's God. That's God's character. It is holy. It is flawless. It is perfect. And so the New Testament shows up, and he says, all right, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. And all of the morality that could not be achieved under the carnal law based on performance is now going to be able to be achieved through the administration of the Holy Spirit. And look what he said in verse 12. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. In doing so, this is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. You know what he just said? He says, I can tell you how to get a hold of everything that was taught in the law and the prophets. Treat other people like you want to be treated. Say what? I'm going to show you how powerful that is. Because then the Holy Ghost starts working. And in order to treat people like you've been treated, you're going to have to deal with the hurt and still treat them the way they ought to be treated anyway. You're going to have to deal with the fear of rejection and still treat them like they ought to be treated anyway. Look at the Holy Ghost working on you. See, you growing up, when you can turn around and speak to somebody that won't speak to you, and when they didn't speak to you, it hurt you, but you still spoke with them, you still spoke to them anyway, because what you're doing, that's an expression of the grace of God. You realize that God showed me grace when I didn't deserve it. I'm going to show somebody else grace, glory to God, and in doing that, I show you the whole essence of what the law and the prophets were all about. But we're more content at pulling a rule out and using it to try to convict somebody. Try to play the Holy Ghost. And he says, no, you don't have to play me. You can't be me. What you do is say, all right, I'm going to treat this person the way I want to be treated. And if they hurt me, I'm going to still treat them the way I want to be treated. Because if I hurt somebody, I still want somebody. Look at what happens to your life as a Christian. You're going to start growing now, because now selfishness is not determining your actions. You made your mind up, I am going to live by the essence of what was taught in the law and the prophets. I'm not going to live by a law that's administered by rule-keeping. I'm going to live by the essence of the law that's administered by the Holy Spirit and the love of God. And because I love Him and because He gave me grace, I can show grace to you. Even though you don't deserve me showing grace to you, I'm going to show grace to you. And in doing that, the Holy Spirit starts changing stuff on the inside of you and raising you up as a holy Christian so that your state will match your stance. And you start growing and growing and growing, but you can't do that being determined to take three or four laws and use it to condemn somebody to make you feel better about your sin. Because it makes you feel more Christian because, you know, I don't drink. That's legalism. You're like the Pharisee. I tithe, I pray twice a day, I do this and I do that. And Jesus said that this tax collector is going to heaven before that Pharisee who's busy in his legalism, but his heart is far from Him. I want my heart to be towards God. I want my heart to be with God. I don't want to be going around trying to quote law to you. I trust the Holy Ghost will straighten you up. Cuss me out, I trust the Holy Ghost will help you, and He'll help me not to cuss you back. I trust the Holy Ghost. But the disbelief is because we were taught wrong. We don't know how to live. So we make it extremely difficult for everybody because of our own disbelief, and we point fingers and we play Holy Ghost police and we do all of these things, and the thing He said that I want you to do to others the way you want them to do to you. This is the essence of the law and what they prophesize. It's the sum of the law and what they prophesize. And the New King James says this is what was prophesied. Look at verse 16, Luke 16, 16, Matthew 11, 13. This is why I keep showing you this. But your disbelief fights this because you have been taught in the law, you have been raised up in the law. And so when the truth comes and the evidence, it's like, if you just know how to read, you'll see this. But the disbelief is fighting you. Verse 16 and 16, the law and the prophets are all the things that came through the prophets. The law, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, those next two books, and the Genesis was more of something a little different because it was laying out the genealogy of what was going on. He said, the law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. And since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. He said, so the law and the prophets lasted until John the Baptist. Why? John went to prison, and Jesus showed up. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And verse 13. For all the prophets and the law, it was done till John. That means there was a expiration for living that way. And what happens is, however you were taught in this area, is so strong in you, it's a stronghold in you, that you won't let it go. And the Bible says in Genesis, Galatians chapter 4, it took two women. And these two women represented the two covenants, the covenant of the law and the covenant of grace. Ahab, which represents the covenant of the law, and Sarah, which represented the covenant of grace. And here's what they said. They said that under the covenant of law, Hagar, under the covenant of law, she had Ishmael through self-effort of her and Abraham getting together while he was still able to produce a seed. But Sarah and Abraham, when they got together, everything had shut down. Old, 90-something years old, 100-year-old, they had to depend on God to produce an Isaac. So he said, those of us who are born again, we should be children of Sarah or children of the supernatural. But instead, we're satisfied with being children of Hagar, children of self-effort. And most, the church, they're still children of self-effort. And Galatians says we should be children of the supernatural. But then he goes and he warns us, and this is why I'm pretty content with it. He said, as Ishmael persecuted Isaac, so today those who desire others to live by the law purchase those who live by the covenant of grace. And he said, that ain't gonna stop. People get mad when you hear preaching like this because they see themselves as children of Hagar. But I'm telling you, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're not children of Hagar. You're not children of self-effort. You're children of Sarah. You're children of the supernatural, praise God. You're children of the Holy Ghost. Okay, enough of that. Because that now you get a chance to see what I'm saying. For some of you who are sitting there like, care what you say. I'm gonna still live by the law. Praise the Lord. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not have sex, and you're doing all of them. See, what you wanna do all of them, and then come over here and get some grace. All right, let's get to the third one. You'll see what I mean. So if you're feeling uncomfortable, I ain't never heard this before. All I'm doing is reading this morning. I'm reading. You can't make it say nothing but what it is. So, okay, so why are you hollering? Calm down. All right, let's look at the third one. Natural unbelief. This is big. Natural unbelief. Now again, what is that? Being moved by your senses more than by what you believe. It's when you're moved by your senses, you're being moved by what you can see than what you believe. Natural unbelief. Being moved more by what you can see than what you believe. This is amazing here. Mark chapter 9, 18. There's a story about these disciples and a man bought his son to cast the demon out of him because it was really hurting him. And they couldn't do it. And one of the reasons they couldn't do it because they were sitting there looking at this boy do all this stuff. Follow me carefully now. And wheresoever he taketh him, talking about this boy, the dad, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth. He pineth away. And then I spake to your disciples, and they, that they should cast him out. And they could not. What? Because they're sitting there looking at this boy doing this stuff. All right, now, let's go to Matthew 17, verse 14 through 21. Ooh, we going somewhere. Matthew 17, verse 14, 21. Excuse me, I'm so excited. Matthew 17, verses 14 through 21. All right, now watch this. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed. Oftentimes he falleth into the fire, oftentimes into the water, and he's demon controlled.
And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. All right, now I got a problem with this. What do you mean? Why could they not cure him? They had the ability to do it. Hold your place there. Look at Matthew 10 and then Mark 6:13. Matthew 10 and 1 and Mark 6:13. They couldn't cure. This is the second time we see they couldn't. What do you mean they couldn't? Look at verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So it's not like they didn't have the power to do it, but yet they couldn't. All right, go to Mark. Go to Mark, because have they ever done it before? Was this like new the first time? Mark 6 and 13. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick, and they healed them. What's up? I don't know. I don't get it. I'm lost. They got power to do it. Jesus gave it to them. They've done it many other times. Why were they not able to do it this time? And you can look at your life. What is it about your life when you prayed and you got the answer and you did this and it worked? Then you saw what happened. It's not like you hadn't done it before. It's not like you don't have the power. Huh. Y'all ready for this? Go back to Matthew 17. He said, I bought him out to your disciples, and they could not cure him when they hadn't had the power to do it. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring the boy here. And Jesus rebuked the devil. And they had the same power to do it. And you do too. And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. I'm telling you what, we're getting ready to go. I ain't gonna be at the house, I ain't gonna be at the hospital, but you guys will. And man, after you hear this today, you ain't gonna sit there and tolerate what somebody tell you. Hallelujah, you gonna lay hands on the sick, you gonna cast out devils, you're gonna do it because he gave you the power. Y'all better get ready, world changers. We getting ready to change some world. We getting ready to make a mark that ain't never be erased. And it ain't because you got to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Pastor, can you come pray? You got the same power, the same Holy Ghost, the same promise. Then came the disciples to Jesus after Jesus had did it. Then they waited till they kind of chilled out, got away from everybody. Jesus. Psst, we need to holler at you for a minute. Come on. And they said, why could not we cast him out? I really thought Jesus was going to respond and say, oh, no, you had the power and you've done it before. Tell me. But now he's teaching them something we need to get. And Jesus said unto them, listen, you remember the question, right? How come we didn't cast him out? What was the answer? Because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. All right, now question. What is the subject now? Get your English now. You got a colon there, so that we're still gonna be maintaining unbelief as the issue. Because of your unbelief, he said. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. What he said was, I don't know why. He says, I don't know why y'all had an issue, because all you need is a mustard seed faith. But it looked like y'all had too much unbelief. Now watch this. Then he said, how be it, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Question, What was he referring to when he said this kind? He was referring to unbelief because that was the subject. What has the church declared that he was referring to? The demon. So we spent time in fantasy saying we got to go fast and pray so we can deal with the devil. And you don't need to fast and pray to deal with the devil because he gave you power to deal with the devil. He said what you need to fast and pray about is the unbelief, praise God. It's the unbelief that's counteracting your faith. It's the unbelief that's stopping you from doing what I said you could do. It's the unbelief. It's the unbelief. You can have faith and unbelief at the same time. Back up, look what this guy said. The guy said, Lord, his father said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And notice Jesus didn't rebuke him for saying that. Because sometimes you have faith and unbelief at the same time. The problem is, you have so much more unbelief than you do faith. So go on a fast and pray until you drive that unbelief out of your thinking. Go on a fast and pray until you drive that unbelief out of your spirit. Go and fast and pray until you don't see nothing but what God promised, and it shall be done, and it shall be done, and it shall be done. He didn't say something was wrong with your faith. He said you had too much unbelief. And look at where we are tonight. We get a daily dose of unbelief from the news, from the paper, from people, from doctors, from everybody. We just feed ourselves unbelief that we got so much unbelief in us, and then we see the word, well, you know, I ain't talking about that right now. I'm talking about something real. I need some money right now. I always talking about you need some money right now, but you don't believe that you can trust God with your seed, and so you refuse to sow because you don't trust God. So he sent us a helper. How you know we're gonna need some help? Thank God for fasting and praying, but where does the Holy Ghost come in? Go to St. John 16 and 8. Hey, boy, that devil, he ain't got a shot. If y'all walk out here today, I almost feel sorry for the devil this week. Because now that you know, and something happens, you say, oh, no, not today, not now, devil. You done messed with the wrong person. I'm calling Paul. You done messed with the wrong person today. I know what you're trying to do. But I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved by the reports of the doctor. I'm not moved by how much money I got in my bank. I trust God Almighty. Don't make me go on a fasting and a praying time. Don't make me miss breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Don't make me go in my closet. Rebo sheke kalalabasa. You don't want to mess with me today.
Who or what do you trust? In the three-message series, Trusting God in the End Times, Creflo Dollar breaks down how to declare dependence on God when so many people choose idols for themselves. For a love gift of only $20 or more for CDs, or $30 or more for DVDs, secure a copy today. Call the number on your screen, scan the QR code, or visit CreflodollarMinistries.org and click eStore. Learn how to genuinely trust in God.
Bloom, Radical Women's Conference 2024 is almost here. On Thursday and Friday, March 14th and 15th, take your growth to new heights with Taffy Dollar, Krislyn McNair, Laura Pickett, Dr. Anita Phillips, Egypt Sherrod, Grammy Award-winning artist Samara Joy, and much more. Secure your seat now by texting RADICAL to 51555 or visiting www.tappydollar.org.
I pray that this broadcast blessed you today. I want you to pray about sowing a financial seed into this ministry. I also want to extend a special thanks to those of you who have remained our loyal partners, supporters, and friends. Your financial support goes a long, long way. Your donations help equip us with what we need to send this broadcast all over the world. And when you give to this ministry, you partner with us to reach people everywhere who are hurting and in need of the revelation of God's grace and love.
If God has placed it on your heart to support the vision of this ministry to reach the world with the gospel of grace, you may call in to make your financial donations or log on to CreflowDollarMinistries.org. God bless you.
You can interact with Creflo Dollar Ministries anytime, anywhere. Engage with Christ on a deeper level. Develop your walk with the Lord and strengthen your faith. All of this is at your fingertips with our state-of-the-art custom-designed app.
You got to come to the end of yourself where you recognize, I need a Savior. I need an advocate. I need a peace offering.
With the broadcast feature, you can access your favorite messages, sermon series, and more. The app puts you right in the sanctuary with live streaming of services. You can receive practical advice for applying the Word of God to your life every day with our daily devotionals.
There's something about the mercies of God when others want to count you out and stone you and all kinds of things, or pointing fingers, but thank God for Jesus being right there.
Add events to your calendar, set reminders, get directions, share with friends, and even give securely through this platform. Visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org/app or text APP to 51555 today.
Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.